Before we have our morning prayer, I have a burden on my heart, and I'd like to share it with you people, because we're all family, right? So, does anybody know any individual that was a church member but doesn't come anymore? Does anybody? Show of hands. Okay, here's my prayerful challenge. After the pastor's sermon last week, I have a burden on my heart. Just one person that you know that you could reach out to in the next few weeks or months and touch base with them and let them know that you care, that you're there for them, that what can we do to help you? I don't suggest that you try to get them back into church at this point. Just be a friend to them. Just show them that Jesus lives in your heart. So this is my prayer this morning when we have prayer. That's what I'm going to pray for, that each one of us could be lifted up and find an individual who needs to be rescued, who needs a friend. So, shall we kneel for prayer? Our gracious Heavenly Father, this burden lies heavy on our hearts today. We want to come before you knowing that we've done everything we can to teach your kingdom to every person that we know and love. So my prayer today is that you would give us courage, strengthen our hearts, be with us, send your Holy Spirit to dwell within us, to guide us, to be of service to you, that we may honor you, that your kingdom would be so filled with people adoring and loving you. Give us strength for this day. Thank you for the blessed Sabbath day. We are so grateful that we can come aside and worship you. And as we worship you, Lord, just know our hearts are filled with love for you and that we want to serve you and make us willing. It's my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your ox, nor your donkey, not any of your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates, that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well as you. And remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord of your God brought you out from there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day.
Morning. And happy Sabbath. I want to thank all of you who have been thinking about my family and praying for my family. Still no baby. Monday will be 39 weeks, so it's not quite time yet. But our last baby was 2 weeks early, so we kind of thought this one would be here by now. And my wife is still hanging on. I'm exhausted just from waiting. I don't know. She must. I can't imagine how rough it is on her. It's been rough just on me. But thank you. I really do appreciate the prayers and the well wishes and everything, all the support you've given our family. So this is part three in the series I'm doing of why I'm a Seventh-day Adventist. Again, just to make sure everyone's on the same page, I started off my first sermon here was about supporting one another, stronger together. We're in a war against the devil, and you don't fight a war alone. And so church should be about us supporting one another, strengthening one another. And then after that, the question comes in my mind at least, well, if church is about supporting one another, strengthening one another, then why does it matter which church you go to? Can't you go to any church and find that support, strengthen one another there? And so I've done this series now of why I personally am a Seventh-day Adventist. Talked about the sanctuary, you talked about Christian Seventh-day Adventist education, and now we're going to talk about the Sabbath this morning, which was a really big one for me that drew me back after I left the church as a teenager, 10 years away from the church. And when I came back to the Lord, the Sabbath was a really big part of why I was convinced that the Seventh-day Adventist church was the right church for me. So we're going to look at that this morning. But as we dive into the Word, let's pray one more time, please. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful Sabbath day. And as we reflect on what the Sabbath means, what your intent for the Sabbath is, and what your Word says about the Sabbath, may your Holy Spirit guide us, inspire us, and bury truth deep within our hearts that will grow and bear fruit, Lord. Draw us closer to you in this time, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to start off by going right to Genesis chapter 2, the first time the Sabbath is mentioned in the Bible. Right off the bat, we've got the creation story. 6 days, God created everything in the earth, the heavens and the earth and everything in them. And then in Genesis chapter 2, starting there in verse 1, it says this: thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he was doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. Right off the bat, we have this setup for the Sabbath. First of all, God showing us by example of what he wants for us to do on the Sabbath, to rest, right? God, the all-powerful God, does not need to take a break, right? He's got all the power he wants. He's got all the strength he wants. He doesn't run out of energy. It's not like God needs a day off. The reason he took that day off and rested was for our benefit. He was our creator. He said, I created you. I know you better than you know yourself. And I'm telling you, you're going to need this day to take a break. To pause from the work, from the stress, from the rigors of our everyday lives. He says, I know, as your creator, that you need to take this break. And so he showed us by example, by his example, by resting. But notice what it says in verse 3. It says, God blessed the seventh day and made it holy. And we were familiar with those terms, blessing and making something holy. But I think a lot of times we don't really stop and think, well, what does that mean that he blessed it? What really did he do that was giving it a blessing? And what did he do that made it holy? And when it says that he made it holy, what that really means is it means he set it apart for a specific purpose, a holy purpose. It was set aside, set apart, made different than the other days. When it says he blessed it, it's the same word that is used when, like a father in the Bible, gave a blessing to his firstborn son. He gave it something special that he didn't give to the rest of the week, right? Just like the father gave to his firstborn a blessing they didn't give to the rest of his children. God gave to the seventh day, the Sabbath, a blessing they didn't give to the rest of the days. So I think, well, what does that look like? What is that? Where does the rubber meet the road here? That was set apart for a specific purpose. It was made holy, and it was given a blessing that the rest of the days of the week were not given. And in my own life, one of the ways that I've seen this manifested was when I came back to the Lord. Right off the bat, I've shared briefly before. I haven't given my whole testimony before this church before, but I've shared briefly. Right before I came back to the Lord, I was struggling with alcohol. I was drinking every day and was just making my life miserable. The darkness I was already in was getting darker still because of the alcohol I was drinking. When I came back to the Lord, I wanted to give it up. And the Lord helped me do that. But it was still a struggle. It's not something that just goes away just like that. When you're recovering from an alcohol addiction, it takes time. But one of the things that I noticed very early on was the cravings that I had for alcohol were not nearly as bad on the Sabbath. And maybe it's just me. Maybe that was only my experience. But I felt that was a tangible way that God was using the Sabbath to bless me early on as I came back to Him, as I was going through my recovery. Those cravings I would get throughout the week, that part of my brain that said, man, I could really use that numbing effect of alcohol right now. The Sabbath day wasn't nearly as bad. I mean, it's noticeable. I noticed it. I think that's part of the special power that the Sabbath has, that God imbued with it when He blessed the Sabbath day, when He gave it something special that the other days of the week do not have. There's a restorative, healing aspect to the Sabbath. So here in Genesis chapter 2, it's about creation. Our Creator God, He created it and then took this day off as a memorial to His creation, as a day of rest. He showed us by His example. I want to jump ahead now to Exodus chapter 20, the Ten Commandments. This is one of the main places that we'll go with Seventh-day Adventists to describe our understanding of the Sabbath, of what it means to keep the Sabbath holy. We tend to go to here, this passage in Exodus chapter 20, starting in verse 8. The Ten Commandments, and it says this: remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them. But He rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the seventh day and made it holy. Right off the bat, it's interesting that of all the Ten Commandments, we have a lot of thou shalt not do this, thou shalt not do this. And here, in the fourth commandment about the Sabbath, it says remember. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. And it talks about rest. Again, resting from work. And I don't know if you've ever had a time where you didn't get a day off, where you had to work 7 days a week. When I was in the Army, particularly when I was a soldier in Afghanistan, we did not get days off in combat. And so for 12 months, there was a 10-day period. They gave me a mid-tour leave towards the latter part of my tour. But other than that, it was every single day, no days off, no breaks, doing your job every single day, every single day, every single day. And it's exhausting to never have that break, to never have a day off. And it just kind of grinds you down, and it just wears you down until you're not even like fully human anymore. We got to the point where we were just so tired, so exhausted, we're just going through the motions. You're not like fully engaged in what's going on because you're just going off of just some robotic impulse, just going through the steps of what you know you need to do, but you're not fully engaged because you're just not mentally able to properly engage because you haven't had the rest that our Creator says we need. One of the reasons that I know that I personally, I think other soldiers struggle so much to deal with what we go through in combat. It's already horrible on its own, But I think it really makes it even worse how exhausted we are by not getting that day off, by not getting any time to rest, going day after day after day after day. We're just so exhausted physically, mentally, emotionally, psychologically, that when these horrible things happen that happen in war, we just have no reserves left to deal with it. I know for me personally, and I think for other soldiers I served with, certainly that was the case. It made it even more difficult to deal with what we were going through, not having any time off, not having any rest. So the fourth commandment says, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days do your work, but on the seventh, take a day, take a rest. And again, we see here at the end of this passage, it's again connected to creation. The Sabbath, it's about taking a rest. It's about a memorial, a celebration of what God did, his beautiful creation, the creation of love that we are to our Father God. It's a celebration, a memorial to that. Now, if we flip over to what our scripture reading was this morning, in Deuteronomy chapter 5, we see again the Ten Commandments, but this time it's phrased differently, a little bit. Some small nuances are a little bit different. And so in Deuteronomy chapter 5, starting in verse 12, this is what this version of the Ten Commandments says. It says, observe the Sabbath day. Last time was remember. This time it's observe. Observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, as the Lord your God has commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant nor the alien within your gates, so that your manservant and maidservant may rest as you do. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. It starts off by saying observe. Last time was remember. This time it's observe. And the word here, is translated as observe. It's the same kind of word that they used to describe shepherds keeping watch over their flocks, right? Guarding almost, observing in a careful way. Observing in a manner almost to protect it. It says observe, keep watch, protect even the Sabbath day. Treat it special. It's not like the other days. The thing that I love about this fourth commandment, this version of it, is the end. Before it was attached to creation. We have the rest here again. It was attached to creation in Exodus 20. But here in Deuteronomy 5, we see at the end, it's more than that. It's even deeper. Another layer of meaning. God says, remember that you were slaves in Egypt. And remember that I was the one who saved you. Sabbath is about creation. It's about rest. But it's also about celebrating and remembering what God has done for us. One of the practices that I have taken and I've done for a few years now to help me always keep in mind what God has done for me, to really focus about on that on the Sabbath day. And even as a pastor, you think, you should always remember what God has done for you. But even as a pastor, you get busy with things, you're doing things, and sometimes you just forget. You lose track and you forget all the stuff that God's done for you to bring you to this point. So one of the things that I do every Sabbath morning when I wake up, every single Sabbath I do this, just to help remind myself of what God has done, so I can focus on it every Sabbath day, is I read a passage in 1 Timothy, one of my favorite passages in the Bible, but it really, really brings to mind what God has done in my life. It's 1 Timothy chapter 1, 1 Timothy chapter 1, and starting in verse 15, it says this, "Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on him and receive eternal life." I resonate a lot with the Apostle Paul in this passage. And it's interesting the language he uses. I mean, this is the Apostle Paul, right? He wrote most of the New Testament. He established churches throughout Asia Minor. He was a great man of God. And here he refers to himself as a sinner of the worst kind. And I resonate with that. In my own rebellion, in my life, in the things that I have done, I resonate with that concept of being a sinner of the worst kind. But Paul says this. He says, for that very reason, for the reason that I'm a sinner of the worst kind, I was shown mercy. Stood in me the worst of sinners. Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on him and receive eternal life. Paul is saying, I am a horrible, wretched sinner. I am a bad person. So when you look at the good that has happened in my ministry, the ministry of the Apostle Paul, he says, it can't be me. I'm a horrible, wretched sinner. When you see good works coming out of my ministry, it's God showing his unlimited patience and using me as an example of what he can do if you accept him into your life. And I resonate with that. When I think of where I was when God called me to be a pastor, I was broken, I was battered, I was in a dark place, teetering on the edge of self-destruction. I was a suicidal alcoholic. I was broken. I was nothing. And so I tell people, if you are blessed by my ministry, if you see fruit being born in my ministry, it's not me. It's God saying, hey, look, I can make a pastor out of nothing. So I read this every Sabbath morning to remind myself of what God has done for me in my life. Sabbath is about rest. The Sabbath is a memorial to creation, but the Sabbath should also be a time when we reflect on the incredible things God has done for us in our lives. There's one more aspect of Sabbath that I want to get to, but I want to take a brief hiatus before we get to the last aspect of Sabbath. I want to go to a fascinating story in Mark chapter 2 about the Sabbath. This is Jesus on the Sabbath. He was always getting trouble with the Pharisees on the Sabbath, right? They're always like, you shouldn't be doing this stuff on the Sabbath, healing people, all these things. And this is another story of Jesus getting in trouble from the Pharisees on the Sabbath. This is Mark chapter 2, starting in verse 23. And it says this, one Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as his disciples walked along, they began to pick some heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath? He answered, have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar, the high priest, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for priests to eat. And he also gave some to his companions. Then he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. On the face of it, it's pretty simple. Jesus saying, it's okay to pick some grain and eat it on the Sabbath if you're hungry. On the face of it, it's a simple message. Jesus is saying it's okay to feed yourself on the Sabbath. But that statement, that the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath, is really a deep thing for Jesus to say. And I want to phrase it in this way. You and I are more important. We are higher on God's hierarchy of values than the Sabbath is itself. Does that make sense? We were not created merely to serve the rules of the Sabbath. The Sabbath was created for us as a day of celebration, a day of rejoicing, a day of remembrance. It was created for our benefit. It wasn't that we were created just to serve the Sabbath, whatever rules we think apply to it. The Sabbath is for our benefit. Jesus didn't die for the Sabbath day. He died for you and I. And sometimes we've kind of struggled with this concept in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Throughout our denomination's history, we have struggled with being legalistic about the Sabbath the same way the Pharisees did, right? We have these rules, we have these ideas, and we say, oh, you can't do this on the Sabbath, you can't do that on the Sabbath. Now, in Deuteronomy 5, it says we had to protect the Sabbath. Observe, protect the Sabbath. It's not about being an overbearing, rule-based day. And sometimes we have portrayed it to our young people in our church. You can't do that on the Sabbath. That's not appropriate for the Sabbath. Without any reasoning why, without any explanation of what the Sabbath truly is, we say, no, you can't do that. Don't do that. Same way the Pharisees were with Jesus. Hey, you can't pick grain and eat it on the Sabbath day. That's not right. Sabbath wasn't meant to be a day just about rules. We are to observe it, to protect it by honoring it properly. It's a day of rest, a celebration of creation, a day to remember what God has done for us in our lives. It's not meant to be a burden. It's not meant to be difficult. It's meant to be a blessing. It's meant to be a blessing. And when we look at the language used in Genesis chapter 2, in Exodus 20, in Deuteronomy 5, and other passages that deal with the Bible, particularly in the Old Testament, the language is inextricably linked with the language of the sanctuary. The word itself, Sabbath in the Hebrew, Shabbat, is a word tied directly to the sanctuary throughout the Old Testament. And there's a reason for that. If you remember my sermon on the sanctuary a few weeks ago, at the end I shared the overarching message, the theme of the sanctuary is God desiring to be with us, His creation. God desiring to be with us. And the Sabbath has that same ultimate purpose. When He set aside this special day, He said, this is blessed. This is holy. This is different than the other days of the week. It's not just for us. God treats it different too. We have special access to our Lord and Savior on the Sabbath day. He makes Himself specially available. He provides a special blessing when we reach out to connect with Him on the Sabbath day. Because He wants to spend time with us. When Jesus said there in Mark that the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath, it's a profound statement. It ties His identity as the Son of God directly, as our Savior, directly to the concept of the Sabbath. The whole reason Jesus came in the broken flesh of mankind and suffered and died on the cross was so that He could be with us for eternity. And directly tied to that identity, to His purpose, He tied it directly to the Sabbath day. He wants to spend this special time with us each week. And that leads me to the fourth aspect of the Sabbath that I want to talk about. I want to turn to Revelation chapter 21. Much like when we talked about the sanctuary, about that special blessing that can happen in the presence of God, that shalom we talked about with the sanctuary. I want us to read here in Revelation chapter 21, because this talks about one more aspect of what the Sabbath should be for us. So Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 4, and it says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Now the dwelling of God is with men, and He will live with them. They will be His people, and God Himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away.'" This is describing the new earth, the new Jerusalem, the beauty, the awesome, the peace of it. And one of the things, the last aspect of the Sabbath I want to talk about today is, it is a preview. It is a preview of what we will have in heaven. I want to mention this in verse 1. Maybe you noticed it, maybe you didn't catch it. There's a weird thing that it says in Revelation 21, verse 1. It says, there was no longer any sea. It's a really weird thing for the Bible to say. In the new earth, there will be no more sea. And you say, well, God created the sea. Why would he get rid of it? And whenever you come across something in the book of Revelation that you don't understand, the best thing to do is to go to the Old Testament and see what the Old Testament has to say about a subject to give you understanding, because Revelation uses that imagery from the Old Testament. And when you look at the sea, the concept of the sea in the Old Testament, you see that it was a scary thing to the Old Testament people. And if you think about it, it makes sense. They had these primitive sailing boats, these ships that they had to stay very close to the shore. They couldn't do any transatlantic, transoceanic travel. They couldn't do that. They didn't have the boats that could handle that. The dark, deep sea was seen as something foreboding, something uncontrollable, something terrifying. You get lost at sea, you're gone. You're never coming back. And it's used throughout the Old Testament as imagery to describe the troubles we go through in life. And God himself, having power over the sea, is used particularly in these Psalms, but also in Job and throughout the Old Testament. God's power over the sea is proof to the Old Testament Hebrews that God is God alone, God all-powerful, for he controls even the mighty, untamable sea. And so for a Hebrew to look at this and say there is no longer any sea, what would mean to them is there is no longer any more that scary, foreboding presence out there. That presence, the sea that would divide people, keep you from going places you want to go, it's divide people. But also that everyday experience, the turbulence of life, the ups, the downs, the rocky, scary, dark nature of life that this sinful world sometimes throws at us. That's going to go away. Those tribulations are no more. It says there, the dwelling of God is with his men. He will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. The old order of things has passed away. The scary, dark things of this world are going away. And the Sabbath, God wants to be a preview of that. He wants that to be a day where we can come to him and lay down our burdens. The things that are troubling us, the things that are hurting us, the things that are causing us brokenness and pain in our lives. He says, come to me, all you who are weary. Lay down your burdens, and I will give you rest. The rest of the Sabbath day. That peace that only the Prince of Peace can give us. A special time where we can commune with our Creator and our Savior. A preview of what we'll have for eternity in heaven. God himself created the seventh day, the Sabbath day, and made it holy. He set it apart for a specific purpose, as a memorial to his creation, as a day of rest for his beautiful human beings that he loved so much that he created himself with his own hands. And he said, I know that you need a day of rest. It's a time for us to reflect and celebrate what God has done for us in our lives. And it is a preview of what we have waiting for us in heaven. That sounds awesome. It sounds beautiful. It sounds incredible. Sometimes we struggle as Adventists. If you've been a lifelong Adventist, sometimes that makes it even more challenging to have that specialness each and every week of the Sabbath day. Maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm the only one. But week after week, it's easy for it to become habit, to come to church, to not work, to not do the bills or take care of whatever problems we have. It's a day, it's a break, it's nice, it's enjoyable. But it's easy for it to not always be that special when it happens every week. For your whole life, if you've been a lifelong Adventist, it's easy for it to not be so special for whatever reason. And so I want to encourage you this morning to do is to think about these aspects of the Sabbath and which one you need most in your life right now. Maybe you need a rest. Maybe you need a break. Maybe you've been working your tail off, and that's what you need. Maybe you need to reflect on God's awesome creation. It's easy to do in this beautiful place here around Brewster. You want to spend some time reflecting on the awesome creator we have. Maybe you too have kind of forgotten about all the incredible things God has done for you in your life. You need to reflect on the testimony that you have. Or maybe you're looking forward to that second coming of Jesus Christ. Maybe you've lost a loved one, maybe recently. And you need to look forward to that hope, that peace that we have coming for us, when we will be reunited with our loved ones again, when every tear will be wiped from our eyes and we will suffer no more, there will be no more death. But whatever aspect of the Sabbath you need most, here today, this morning, I want you to ask God to make that aspect of the Sabbath very real to you today. That each of us, individually and collectively together, can experience this Sabbath day in a special way today. It wasn't meant to be any other day. It wasn't meant to be something we do out of habit or a sense of obligation. The Sabbath was created for man, created for us to be a blessing. And it is my prayer for each one of us this morning that it can be a special blessing for us today. Let us pray. God in heaven, I want to thank you for the Sabbath. When you created us, you knew that we needed this day. But even more than that, you wanted this day, this special time for your people to spend time with you. You are such an awesome God with such an awesome love for us, and we thank you for that. And my prayer is now this morning, Lord, that each person here, whatever aspect of the Sabbath they need most in their lives, that you will make it readily, abundantly, overwhelmingly apparent, that you will give them a special Sabbath day blessing right here, right now, today, so they can experience the Sabbath in a special and beautiful way. They can know that they are in the presence of their Lord, Savior, and Creator God. Make it real to us today, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Stand with us as we sing our closing hymn from Mount Fount.
God in heaven, as we go our separate ways this day, go with us. And may we experience your presence in a special and powerful way. And may this Sabbath day be one of profound blessing for every one of us. In Jesus' name, amen.
You that there is a special program next Saturday evening at 6 o'clock. It was previously announced as being at the school. It will be downstairs in the fellowship hall. It's in the bulletin. Farewell for McCombs. Food is provided. Anything else? Potluck? Oh, potluck today, yes. Come and get it.